Thank you. Thank you. You can have a seat. Thank you. You can have a seat. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You really should have been cheering for Brother Lutz today. He texted me yesterday afternoon. He said, "Brother Douglas, I'm not sure what's going on, but I'm really feeling bad." And then he texted me late last night and said, "I'm just not going to be able to make it." It sounds like he has the same flu that many of us have experienced. And I was looking forward to Brother Lutz, and I always enjoy hearing his preaching. So I said, "Lord, who do you want me to preach? Who do you want to preach? Would you please lay somebody's name upon my heart?" And he laid my name upon his heart, my heart. And so we're going to go back to the book of James, chapter 1. Please turn there. I know that sounds self-serving, but that is really what happened there. And by the way, I love preaching to you. You are a very responsive bunch. And I won't use the precious word anymore, okay? I don't want to overuse that. Let me just say a few things. Brother Lloyd Warren, man, just so many great memories, and thank you so much. And you and Emily are a great blessing, a great testimony also. Appreciate you. And then also, by way of information, please pray for Susanna Martin's father. Has the surgery been set yet? He's having open heart surgery. Could be very soon, maybe into next week, so do pray for that. That's always just a little bit unsettling when your dad or your mom, somebody very close to you, has open heart surgery, so pray for that. James chapter 1, we're going to begin in verse 12, and we'll read about four or five verses. One last thing, staff member had to turn in the names of two of our students yesterday in chapel for talking. And can I just really encourage you, that you just need to flip a switch when chapel begins and it says discipline. Discipline. Chapel's a little bit different. By the way, you should have that attitude for every class. And I understand it takes a little bit of mental discipline and emotional discipline, but please practice it. If I were you, and I did this as a student, I would always try to find one thing, just one truth. Now, sometimes I got several truths. But this is what God used. This is the plan that God uses to speak to his children. Preaching. Preaching. And so please listen carefully. Beginning in verse number 12, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." I want to point out two words there. That word "endureth" means remain. So blessed is the man that remains when tempted. And then two, tried. That means accepted. God's going to test you, folks. There's going to be internal temptations that will take place for the rest of your life until you take your last breath or until the Lord Jesus Christ returns. Verse 13, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man, when he is tempted, when he is drawn away of his own lust, and enticed, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begot he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of firstfruits of his creatures." And let's pray. Father, we ask again that your spirit would come upon us. I pray, Father, that your spirit would totally control me, have me to say exactly what you would want me to say. I pray that the listeners would discipline their minds and hearts and not grieve your spirit and not quench your spirit. Help them to remove all distractions. God bless this chapel service. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, we see some very practical information here for Christians. And again, when you read the Bible, you really need to get in the habit of reading it in context. What is going on in that particular chapter of the Bible? Why? Because it brings so much more understanding. Right. If you just read because there are words in front of you, you're missing a lot. And again, I think we as people that are training for the ministry, you need to go a step further to understand God's word. How often, when I'm reading the Bible, I'll stop and say, God, what are you trying to communicate to me? You've got to be communicating something to me. Lord, help me to understand that. And in this chapter, there was great persecution going on with the churches scattered abroad. And we see that in Acts chapter 8, verse 1. So they were literally running for their lives, escaping Jerusalem so they would not be martyred because they were Christians. Well, keep in mind, that's going to rattle anybody if you know that you're trying to be killed. And so they were very unsettled. And this was the advice that James gave to them, inspired by the Holy Ghost. And we go backwards to a verse that we didn't read, but in verse 2 he says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Now hold on, let's just stop right there. My brethren, that's us, that's the young early church, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, meaning a variety of trials. And they were experiencing that. Well, let me help you to understand that. First, how can we count it all joy? There is only one way we can count it joy when we are exposed to variety of trials. And that's a long list, isn't it? It could be having a flat tire on a busy highway. It could be getting bad news from home. It could be final exams. It could be just the list goes on and on and on. And God says, count it all joy. Well, here's the determining factor here. Where's your affection set upon? Because if your heart is set upon worldly pleasures, then every trial is going to be very abrasive to you. You're not going to enjoy it. You're going to say, God, why are you doing this to me? Right, because God's trials interfere with our comfort. God's trials interfere with our pleasurable life. Let me remind you, we live in a very hedonistic country, meaning we are given to pleasure. We are given to comfort. And so he says, count it all joy. Now, if our affections are set on the heavenly things, and our affection is set on the Lord Jesus Christ, then we will recognize this is a trial, and that God is trying to do something. He is trying to mature us, and he works on the inside, and he speaks to us. And when we recognize that this is a difficult task, and God has called us, and every trial that you go through, let me just say, it had to be filtered through the Heavenly Father. And many times he will ordain them to say, you know what, I need to use this person down the road, and they're going to be used of God in a great way, but their faith needs to grow. That's why so many young people go through trials. That's why I go through trials, because God says, I need to grow you up a little bit. So don't whine, don't moan, don't complain, don't point your finger at God when you go through a trial. Get down on your knees and count it all joy. I see it as God saying, I'm going to confirm, I'm going to grow you up. You men, many of you men, and even you ladies. By the way, congratulations to the volleyball teams, the champion first and second place, I'm assuming here. You're making history at Hiles Anderson College. Isn't that great? And they're probably very nervous, too, because everybody's going to be watching. All right? So, all right, I guess not. Here we go. So, either that or you're petrified. I'm not sure what it is. So blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Excuse me. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Verse 3, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Let me break that down here. Knowing this, what? That the trying of your faith worketh patience. That word patience means endureth. Listen, no Christian will escape life without being their faith being tried. It's going to happen to each and every one of you. And if you're expecting to live this life that's just going to be very comfortable, very convenient, and oh, praise the Lord, everything's good, no, that's not going to happen. Your time is coming. As a matter of fact, there may be several times that God will come to you, knock on your door, and say, it's time for another trial. Those of us a little bit older, we understand that. And I have come to the point in my life, I recognize when trials come, I can rest, I can count it all joy. Verse number 4, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And again, all trials have a purpose. Can I say that again? All trials have a purpose. This is something you need to lock into your mind and your heart, because it's coming to you. And if you resist because your value system is about comfort of this world and pleasures of this world, God's going to say, retest. we're going to make up the test some other time here. And I will get your attention, and he will get your attention. I don't have time to tell you all my, the trials that God has brought into my life, but I will tell you this, I failed many of them in my younger years because I did not recognize this great truth here. Now, what's going on here? James is saying to the churches scattered abroad, the very young Christians, the Christians that were very nervous about even their life and their existence, he's saying, be patient in trials. You've got to endure them. And they will make you a better person. And so listen, when that trial comes to you, don't moan, don't whine, don't cry. Don't point your finger at the Father and say, what are you doing to me? You can't do this to me. Yes, he can. He has the title deed on each and every one of us. He owns us. And just look at it as a means that God is going to use you for his glory and for your maturity. May I just also say from experience, there has never been a trial I've went through that I enjoyed. Not at all. I think of the stories you told to your daughter last week or a couple weeks ago in your message. That was a trial for Andrew Bailey. And you know what? Andrew and Jennifer Bailey are better people. Their faith has increased because of that. Now, do you want to stay at the baby level with your thumb in your mouth, sucking your thumb for the rest of your life, or do you want to endure the trials? It's as simple as that. So, again, in context, this is what is happening here. Lot going on here. You're young, you're 18, you're 19, you're 20, you're 21, 22, whatever you may be, but may I remind you, God will always say, I need you to mature. Spiritual maturity is the goal. We move on here, several things, so we've got the patient in trials. That's the external. Another point here, we can't control the external, can we?
Right.
There's not much we can do. You know, it gets to the point where I just don't really like to watch the news, listen to the news anymore. There's nothing about it I can control. Nothing about it. And you know what? I'm old enough, mature enough to know don't stick your nose into anything that you can't control. It'll drive you crazy. Yep, right. And so we all have external trials going on at any given moment. And there's nothing we can do about them except endure. Be patient. Be patient during trials. Verse 12, the text that we read here. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive a crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. And now, too, we've got the external. Now we're talking about the internal. How many of you have been tempted to do wrong in the last 24 hours? Would you please raise your hand? That would probably be 100% of us. It is our nature. It is our nature that speaks to us, our carnal nature, the old man. And you're going to have to learn in your very young life, your very inexperienced life, to deal with those internal temptations. How often? Brother Douglas, I couldn't help myself. Oh, yes, you could.
Amen.
The truth is you were not armed with truth. And when you're armed with truth and know how to deal with those internal temptations, you become the victory. You'll become the victor here. And this is what James is saying. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Or he stays by the stuff. Can I just say, many of you are going to be tempted right out of the blocks. Many of you are going to be tempted because you have a decision to make. Do we understand that in ministry, you don't make a whole lot of that? That temptation will be go somewhere where you can make a lot of money. You know, it's a blessed thing that when you serve the Lord, he will provide for you.
Amen.
Here's another temptation that you're going to have, and I hope you pass this test because we've heard a lot about it this semester, this year. But you know what? I am just a firm believer what we got here. You call it anything you want, fundamentalism, old-time religion, but very loving, kind type of old-time religion.
Right.
I'm very satisfied with it. And listen to me, Brother Douglas at 57 years of age has searched. I was a little bit like Saul. I looked everywhere and I said, satisfied. This is the right stuff here. This is the right stuff biblically, theologically. This is the right stuff here. But you're going to be faced with that. And it grieves me. I'll be honest, it grieves me. I love all of our graduates. I'd do anything for them that I could do. But you know what? You will never catch me preaching in blue jeans and my shirt tail out. It's just not going to happen. You're not going to catch me preaching on a platform that has the trap set and the guitars all set up. It's just not going to happen. Listen to me. We've got to understand God wants to be worshiped in the way he wants us to worship him. We've turned that whole thing around. Well, God, we'll worship you in the way we want you to work. We want to worship you. And we're offering strange fire to God. Go back to the Old Testament. God says, get rid of that. I'm not accepting your sacrifice. There's a lot to it. And I know you're young and you don't understand. And so you need to really get in there and study theology and understand what it is and what worship is. And again, I don't want to be judgmental, but I do want to teach you theology and what the Bible teaches. And so again, those are temptations you will face. We go to verse number 14. Bible says that, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. 15, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Can we talk about that? You know what? I've been up here long enough to know that I love each and every one of you. I don't have to know you to love you. But I want to protect you also. And I need to arm you with the truth, because the internal temptations are going to come fast. They're going to come in intensity, and they're going to come very deceivingly.
Right.
And let me tell you that the steps that takes place, first of all, the desire. That's the word lust there. Be careful. I said this last week, because you will always walk a few steps behind your desires.
Right.
What are you desiring at this very moment? Okay, that is what you're pursuing right now. And this is why it is so very important to keep our mind pure.
Amen.
May I say this to the dating couples? Keep your mind pure. Amen. And holy.
Good.
You say, well, I can't do that. Yes, you can.
Amen.
Step two, desire two, deception. And we see that in the word, deception. Enticed, of his own lust and enticed. So now the desire, now the lies start coming in. And we need to know Scripture enough to not bait and not bite on those lies that Satan will tell us.
Right.
And yes, biblically, scripturally, Satan, his demons can plant seeds of doubt and seeds of thought into our minds. But it is up to us to filter out, is this truth? Is this error? Is this the truth? Is this a lie? And I'm constantly, because my mind is bombarded with thoughts, and I have to ask myself, truth or lie? Truth or lie? Lie, reject, you're out of here.
Amen.
And we've got to understand these truths here. Listen to me. God is calling you to some very specific task here.
Amen.
Now or in the future. And you have to be wise. You have to be spiritually wise. There is a battle, spiritual warfare going on at this very moment.
Right.
And you need to be wise into these things, or you are going to be a casualty. And you are going to be out of God's will. And I want to caution you. So we have desire, we have deception, and then disobedience. It conceives. Now you've sinned. You see the steps there. And then lastly, death. Now what is that death? Does that mean you will die physically? Well, it could mean you die physically, because you've sinned a sin unto death, and God says you're done. You know, there's a book out there that I forget the title of it, but it's just stupid deeds of people and they end up dying. I forget what they call it. Anybody, if you remember that book? But it's quite entertaining. It's like, are you serious? You did that? And even when we saw Brother Noonan here, all those little fail videos, do you remember those? The ones that was all guys? I think there's a little bit of discrimination going on there. You know, like guys are the only stupid ones that will do this. But we are pretty stupid. We are. And so sometimes that sin can kill you. But let me bring it down to our level, to where we can understand. What happens when we take the bait? When we follow our desires, when we listen to the deception, and it is conceived, and we sin, and now death. Well, let's talk about that. That means death to vibrancy. Do you like spiritual vibrancy? I do. I love it. I love it when my faith is strong. I love it when I can tear up at a sermon. I love when I get convicted. Listen, if you're not under Holy Ghost conviction on a regular basis, there's something very wrong in your life. I'll say that again. If you are not under Holy Ghost conviction on a regular basis, you are grieving the Holy Spirit. You are quenching the Holy Spirit. Therefore, the vibrancy is gone. The look is glazed over. Yeah, it's a look too. But when you take the bait, and God is simply saying here, James is saying here, consider the consequences. This is how we overcome sin. Consider the consequences.
Amen.
I know many of you think, well, I'm the exception. I can get by with it. There are no exceptions. You're never getting by with it.
Amen.
And so again, so the relationship with God, the death is the vibrancy is gone. Your relationship with God is dead. That's what sin does. It separates. And this is why Satan is so effective, because he knows if he can separate us from our faith and our God, then he can lead us astray. And we, like a bunch of dumb sheep, said, bah, bah, that looks good, bah. And we follow right into it. Do we understand what's going on here? Not only that, but our prayer life. Tell me. Go ahead, stand up and testify. What's your prayer life like after you take the bait and you sin? Zero. It's gone. And Satan uses that as an attack point also. Don't pray to him. He doesn't want to hear from you. You hypocrite. He's not listening to you. That's why there's 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I live that verse. I believe that verse. Death to relationships. Can I just say, listen to me. Listen. Sit up straight. Listen here. Do not live a life where you burn relationships. You burn the bridges of relationships.
Amen.
Hello? Well, I got my way. Yeah, but you lost a relationship. Do you understand that ministry is all about relationships? Life is about relationships. But selfish people don't care about that. And you know what? One of your leadership abilities will be the ability to get along with people. And boy, there's some all kinds of different personalities, aren't there? Hello, can we, you know, let's just go to the dormitories. Yeah. You know, you ought to really work hard at having good relationships, and that means sometimes you're going to have to sacrifice. You're going to have to say, you know what, go ahead, have your way. That's fine.
Right.
And by the way, I've learned that when I do that, I feel very satisfied. Go ahead, Tina, have your way. And Tina, yes, you can remodel the house, everything that you want. Just kidding. She's not here, is she? All right. Certainly you won't tell her, right? Let's move on here. So number one, to prevent us from caving in to temptation, is consider the consequences.
Amen.
Consider the consequences. You need to look ahead. You do have a tomorrow. You have a next week. And can I say to you dating couples, and all of you, here in 6 weeks, we're going to go our different ways. You're not going to be under the rules of Hiles Anderson College. And everybody said,
amen.
Yeah. I was hoping you wouldn't do that. But can we talk about premarital intimacy?
Amen.
Can we talk about that just for a little while? And I'll be very, very, very proper. You don't want to go there.
Amen.
You don't want to go there. Can I just reveal to you from my many years of experience counseling marriages and counseling young people, you don't want to go there.
Right.
Your flesh says you want to go there, but you really don't want to go there.
Right.
Can I just give you a few of the things that you're going to experience when you cave into that temptation? By the way, just a good piece of advice, don't be anywhere where you're alone to where you're going to be tempted.
Amen.
That's what I live by as a college student. Tina was a beautiful young lady. She is a beautiful, mature lady. And yes, she was very tempting, but I just never spent time where other people, we were isolated because I didn't trust myself. Let's talk about it. First of all, when you cave in, when you give in to the temptation of premarital intimacy, first of all, you become the taker instead of the giver. Guys, girls, guess what? He has already established he is selfish. Try developing a relationship with a selfish person. Hello, I'm talking here. I'm preaching. It's not going to work good.
Right.
He thought it was more important to take from you what was not his so he could satisfy his desires, and now you're going to pay for it for the rest of your life.
Right.
And he has also established very clearly, I am a taker, not a giver. See, a good godly young man will say, I don't want to do anything that will hurt you. That is love Amen. Right there.
Amen.
And he's going to be the giver. He's going to give you vibrancy. He's going to give you life. He's going to give you a spiritual relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's just number one. Number two, the guilt that you will experience. Listen, you don't have to believe me. I don't care. But I'm just testifying what I hear in counseling rooms. I have counseled hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of marriages, and they all have one common denominator. After we get into it, maybe third or fourth appointment, hey, can I ask you a question? Do you mind? It's kind of a private question, and if I don't have to ask this question if you don't want me to. Sure, Brother Douglas, go ahead. I'm just trying to put the piece of the puzzle together. Did y'all have premarital intimacy? Yes, we did, Brother Douglas. I thought so. Do you really want to pay that price?
Come on.
Consider the consequences. Look ahead.
Right.
I think you really do want to be at the wedding altar saying, we did it.
Amen.
We did
Amen.
It. We're pure. We did Good. It. That's a great feeling, by the way.
Amen.
It's a great feeling. You don't want to come up there wearing that white dress, do you? Can I just get something off my chest here? When you're sleeping together, I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about, by the way, when I preach this way, 99% of this student body, you are thumbs up. You got it. I'm talking about the one percenters or the simple and the naive. But I just have an issue when you have been intimate and you have taken what is not yours to come to a wedding altar with a white dress. Sorry. I just have an issue with that. I think you need to deserve that white dress, ladies. Let's move on. I'm not very popular right now, but that's okay. How about the loss of vibrancy because you have violated God's laws? Hello, it's clear. Hello, come on, I'm preaching to you. The loss of vibrancy. How about the future suspicion? Yeah, hey, ladies, guess what? Hey, sweetheart, I'm working late here. I'll be home about 11 o'clock. Okay, now you tell me what you're going to think. Listen, I'm revealing to you what I hear in the counseling room. I'm not making this stuff up. And then the second time of the week, and she knows who he works with. Oh, hey, I got to work overtime again. Then he comes home and he's really distant with her. He's not communicating with her. He's just kind of got a big emotional roadblock. Now, little Miss So-and-so that caved in to the temptation, you ask, you tell me, what are you thinking right now? You're going to be very suspicious. And you know what? That is a tormentor. The guilt, the suspicion, it's a tormentor. So once again, let's just talk about it. Let's rehearse here. When you're tempted, and there are a variety of temptations, consider the consequences.
Amen.
Look ahead to your future. Look ahead to your future. I could have told any one of my kids, Mom and I stayed pure, we expect the same out of you.
It's good.
You can't do that if you cave in.
Amen.
Next. Every good gift, every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Number two, consider God's goodness. Consider God's goodness. Listen to me. If on a daily basis you're saying, thank you, God, and you start in the morning, you wake up in the morning and say, Lord, thank you. You're very good to me. Thank you for another evening. Thank you for another day. Thank you for the warmth. Listen to me. If you are continually praising God, you're not going to fall in. You're not going to cave into temptation. And this is what James says. He says, consider God's goodness, or look around you. God is very good to us. And you want to hurt somebody that is good to you? You know what? There are many people in my life and my wife's life that are very good to us. Listen to me. We would never do them harm. But you know, if somebody was evil to us, we may consider it. I mean, I'm supposed to do good to them that do wrong to me, but I'm telling you, I'd be tempted to. I would hope I wouldn't. But listen to me. When you forget the goodness of God, you're very likely to cave in to temptation. Let's take Joseph, Genesis chapter 39. Joseph said, "Nah, I'm not having enough. I can't do this. Your master has the master has been too good to me. God has been too good to me." He's out the door. But David, a man after God's own heart, same temptation, same temptation. He forgot God's goodness, and he caved into it, committed adultery that just wreaked havoc throughout the kingdom. Listen to me. Consider the consequences to consider God's goodness.
Amen.
You ought to be rehearsed. By the way, complaining should be unheard of us from us. Hello? You know what we do when we get into trials? We start doing this. We start backbiting. We start criticizing, yipping and yapping, criticizing the college, criticizing our parents, criticizing the church. That's not how we're supposed to deal with it.
Amen.
Hello? But the truth is, we shouldn't be guilty of complaining because of God's goodness. Number three, consider your divine nature. Look at verse number 18. Of his own will begot he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. A little bit difficult to understand there. But what God is saying, consider the divine nature within. Hello?
Right.
We do have the Spirit of God within us. We do have the Word of God. We can overcome those internal temptations. And so now we need to look within. Many temptations are coming to your way. Are you listening to me? Many great temptations are coming your way. And by the way, you are a prime target. I'm going to tell you why. Number one, you're young, meaning you're inexperienced in life. Number two, you're burning the candle at both ends. Many of you are just fatigued. What a prime target for the demons of hell to say, tempt them, tempt them, tempt them. And it's going to look good also. So let's look at verse 17 again. He's saying you have the new birth in front, inside of you. And by having a new birth, God declares he cannot accept the old birth. You have the new nature. You have the old nature. And God very clearly in the Old Testament says, I don't take the firstborn. He did that with Ishmael. He did that with Esau. He did that with Cain. Do you see the establishment, the pattern there? And we were first born into this world. I was born in August of 1959. And that old nature was with me until 1980. Then I received a new nature. That's the one he will honor. That is the one that will keep you out of temptation. But again, I'm very fearful that you live with the birth of the old nature. Very fleshly, very carnal. And so you are a prime target once again. And you're going to ruin your life. It's as simple as that. Well, let's rehearse. You could turn your music off, please, your cell phone. So here we go. We need to be patient in trials. We need to endure temptations. Why? God gives us the equipment here. Number one, consider the consequences. Look ahead. Number two, consider God's goodness. Look around. Number three, consider the divine nature within and look within. It's very simple. I pray and I plead with you. Really get wise to this. Would you bow your heads? Would you close your eyes? If you feel like you need to do